That was the drama, because by the time this gets posted,
they'll
be on something else.
Honestly, no, they'll probably be on the same thing, because the same argument happens, I swear, every, like, 6 months.
There was
someone
who posted, like, a video that was, like, the fall of MangaTube, and it's, like...
Recently?
Yeah.
People get on my nerves. And I swear it's the same dudes, because it's almost always dudes.
It is always
they dudes. Know who they are, because I have them all blocked on Twitter. For a reason.
I was just like...
I'm leaving this in because...
I didn't say anything.
I was
admiring
tired.
The fact that my nails are once again too long to take a woman to bed comfortably.
Wow, of all the things... Oh, you know what? We didn't even do the intro, so...
No, we introed by talking about drama because apparently we're Perez Hilton, but
right,
less gross.
So... Welcome to the Yowie Shelf. Grab a seat and relax.
Let's
introduce ourselves.
My name is Amanda, also known as Aichi Yume. Do not talk about how bad I sound. I'm recovering from norovirus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my name is Aisha, a.k.a. Mama Loves Manga, and also a.k.a. Dumbho.
Today's episode is about censorship, which actually came about from our last episode, which is on webcomics, because one of the cool things about webcomics is that because the artists have taken the means of production to themselves, they can draw all the dicks they want, usually.
Yes.
Marxism, but for dicks. Like, typically because most webcomic artists host their own files and own their own domains, they can do whatever they want and not have to worry about censorship. But when you go through a company, censorship is an unfortunate thing that you will probably have to deal with and go through in some capacity.
Right.
We're going to try to keep this to a discussion of censorship in the boys' love space. Here's the thing with censorship, and I think it's important to keep this in mind, is that cultures have different views and standards on things. I think we have to agree to that.
Yeah.
And because of those different views and standards, that usually means that when art comes over, and that's art of any kind, really, that things are gonna get probably censored. So definition, censorship is the act of editing, removing, or changing a work of art, that be fiction, pictures, whatever, to comply with social decency norms. Now that can change,
right? Because society's views on things
absolutely
changes, because we're human.
Yes. And the patriarchy still exists, so women can't have too much fun.
Right.
So those things can change. Like, I think we mentioned a few episodes ago, Japanese depictions of homoeroticism, it was not always negative until Christian influence.
Right, yeah.
So it really wasn't until the Meiji era that that was then considered taboo.
Right.
Social norms had allowed it pretty much up until that point.
Right, yeah.
And then white people ruined it, which is, I think, the story of history. And then... have you seen that one GIF, and it's from Pocahontas, and it's like history summed up, like, these white men were dangerous? It's like, that's history.
It just sometimes it makes you wish you could go back and just be like just travel back in time and be like, don't talk to them. Don't
go even, hide in the bushes.
Don't make eye contact.
But that's the big thing with censorship, is that it's editing, removing, or changing works of art. You'll see censorship with almost anything. And institutions are usually the thing that's doing the censoring. So I know for a long time it was the Catholic Church. I can say that because I was raised Roman Catholic. You can't say it to me because I will fight you. A lot of people talk shit about the Catholic Church. Most of it is merited. But just like with children, I can say my kid is ugly. You can't say my kid is ugly.
That's fair.
In the case of boys' love, it's usually publishing houses that are doing the censoring, or your translation houses, depending on how things go.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of things get censored? Sex or sex acts? Drugs or drug use? Mm-hmm. Language? Mm-hmm. Mostly profanity, but occasionally, like, slurs and stuff will get edited out.
Right.
Not often enough, because especially in Japanese, a lot of that stuff is super contextualized, mm-hmm. so they won't catch all the references.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese is such a weird language to translate. I literally envy no translator.
Yeah.
Because the context of a word can change its meaning so much.
Right.
And unless you're, like, super, super expert level, like, you're not going to catch it. Like, there is some examples of, like, Inu and Neko mm-hmm. being used, like, Seme and Uke.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a lot of, like, children's media that you don't catch.
Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Actually has a lot of that, where, like, in that first season's arc with Kaiba and Joey,
yeah.
where it's like, oh, I'm going to make Joey my dog. There's a lot, like, they go out of their way to say that a lot, and it's like,
oh.
So older BL fans are like, hello.
Interesting.
Right. So there's a lot of that turn of phrase that gets kind of blown over, because mm-hmm. unless you have, like, that deep, deep contextual knowledge,
right.
like, you're just going to think, oh, he means, like, a literal dog. You'll also see, like, actually one of the places that first got me noticing it was Death Note with Matt uh-huh. and Mello. Because Mello goes out of his way to call Matt his dog, like, goes out of his way.
Interesting.
And it's like, I have a very loyal dog. I have a very loyal dog waiting for me. And it's like, oh, oh. Well, then, especially considering how little we see Matt do.
Right.
That is... So for him to go out of his way to say that he has, like, a loyal dog waiting for him.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Huh. And, like, unless you have that contextual knowledge, you'd be like, okay, cool. That's a gay pet name they have. That's a weird way to talk about your friend, but all right.
Right.
That's a weird way to talk about two bros, but sure. But then you have that contextual knowledge.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well. Like,
okay. Oh, I see. I see.
Right. Violence usually gets censored. Mm-hmm. You get the infamous, like, fade to black. Fun fact, I bought some Inuyasha DVDs a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're uncensored or less censored.
Uh-huh.
The sheer amount of blood that I just don't remember.
Oh, wow.
Because it was never shown, like, it was never yeah. shown when Toonami was displaying it, or it wasn't right. shown that much. And it's like, this is so much more graphic than
right.
I remember.
Right.
Ah! But again, that's because of audiences. And then crime will usually get censored some.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on the crime. Usually... For whatever reason, there's still not a ton of talk about, like, drug use and stuff like that, or, like, drug crime in mm-hmm. manga.
Right.
I think, like, the only time that I saw it recently was a Sadazamai,
mm-hmm.
where there's a very, very brief mention of selling marijuana, and I was like, this is, I think, the first time I've seen that, like, in anime.
You know, it's interesting because for the longest time, I was under the impression that, like, no one in Japan even, like, no had access to weed, because I'd never really seen it depicted. And mm-hmm. I, like, now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, I've never seen it in a manga and or an anime. So
right, like, I'd genuinely never seen it. I was very shocked that it was like, mm-hmm. oh, we're talking about a drug deal, and yeah. that's the product. Cool.
I mean, like, I assume it happens, because
I mean, it has to.
Drug dealing happens
everywhere.
Everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, it would be naive of me to think that it doesn't happen. But, yeah, just Japan has done, they've done a great job of, like, controlling the narrative of their...
Well, also, the U.S. has done a great job of hiding what it thinks we don't need to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
we could have an entire conversation on 4Kids and trying to make anime less gay, because
yeah.
apparently that was bad. So, things get censored again because cultures are different,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
sometimes that means that something that is okay in one place is not okay in another place, for better or worse.
Right.
Like, I'm not gonna say that that's universally bad or good,
Right.
Because real talk, there's probably a lot of stuff from the U.S. that goes to Japan and it's like, we need to cut this shit out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So we need to talk about censorship and boys' love. And this is a note mostly for me and some of the old guard. I think some of us do still tend to forget that yaoi is porn.
You know, a lot. Okay. I'm not counting my, we already know I'm not counting myself in this. But because like, although I am older, I'm a newer
fan-ish
fan. So for me, yaoi especially, I mean, if you're someone who denotes like BL as the softer stuff, the more innocent stuff, and yaoi as
boys love
explicit,
is the umbrella, shonen eye is kissing and heavy petting, and yaoi is they fuck.
Right. So if you think of it that way, yaoi has always been porn to me, and I've always approached it as such. So that's, I think that's a big reason why, like, for me, the ghost penis thing has been very annoying. Because I'm just like, I'm here to see freaking penis. Like, well, it's porn. I want to see it. But I also understand because it is porn.
Yeah.
And it's being sold. This is a train of thought that I had earlier while I was cleaning. So I think about the fact that a lot of yaoi is sold in just regular bookstores. You know what I mean? Where, although they do have like the parental guidance thing on there, I don't think I've ever been ID'd, which granted I clearly look older than 18, so maybe that's why, but I've never been ID'd for like the manga that I've bought, even when it's been explicit. So it makes me wonder, like, how easy is it for people under the age of 18
Okay, so here's some story time from back in the day. I do remember getting ID'd at Borders. Back in the day, Borders was the only store that would sell it. Barnes & Noble's was too on their high horse morally to sell it. Even though they'd sell, like, Hustler and Playboy and shit, but we're not here to talk about that. We're not here to talk about that. So I do remember getting ID'd at Borders, but what you did is you had that one friend who was older, or that one friend whose parents didn't love them, and they would just buy whatever. And I had that friend, her name was Ashley, where her mom didn't love her, so it was just, mom, buy this, okay. And
then, oh my gosh, poor
Ashley. You have that one drug mule friend,
right?
Or exactly. The pirate.
Right. Yeah, I guess because it's like when, because I can kind of understand why publishers would want to censor things just in case a younger person gets a hold of it. But then I can't help but wonder, like, why go through the trouble of getting the license for something only to censor it and then inevitably annoy the shit out of the fans who are buying it.
So I think it's weird because as much as I say that yaoi is pornography, it's there is a very small tangent of the audience that consumes it that way.
Yeah.
So I wonder, because like, again, like, I know for me, the sex is usually almost ancillary most of the times. So the censorship is annoying, because it usually just, like, breaks up the flow. But, like, the last thing I'm thinking about sometimes are the dicks.
Okay.
So I wonder how much of that is kind of, like, looking at the fan base and being like, look, real talk, as much as we say this is 18 plus, there's literally no one who's 18 in America who's reading this. There's literally not a single 18-year-old in America who is reading this. Like,
that's fair.
So, yeah. And I wasn't at June or DMP back in the day, so I can't say that. But also, it's not. It's weird because it's in a different category of pornography than like Yuri and stuff. Because yeah, like I don't think that most of the fan base views it that way, which is why I made that point to bring it up.
Yeah,
like, I feel like if you really asked like my generation of yaoi fans, like, I think so few of us just saw it as pornography, which is like, it was so, I have to remind myself sometimes, because I remember like back in the day, like throwing these books at my friends, like, look at this. And it's like, oh, that's a sex scene. Like, that's a crime. Like, don't make people ingest this stuff. But like, we just didn't see it that way. It wasn't what that was for us. So,
yeah. Well, and I have noticed that about the fandom, because like, for me, I've honestly, so like some people will separate like yaoi and hentai. Yes. To me, yaoi is hentai. To me. Mm-hmm. Because that's like, again, I'm going into it for like, you know, with a specific mm-hmm. idea or purpose. Mm-hmm. I've read enough hentai. I've read more hentai than BL, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've read enough hentai and enough BL to kind of feel like, yeah, I see them. Or not BL, yaoi specifically. Mm-hmm. To feel like I just don't really understand why in a lot of, like, I can read hentai. And it's not, you know, it's not censored, depending on who you're buying it from, I think. Right. But, you know, a lot of the time where I buy it from, it's not censored. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, okay, well, maybe there's more to censorship than just we don't want people to see it. Like, maybe it is just a money thing and, like, wanting to have a larger audience that they could, like, reach, because mm-hmm. when you think about hentai, first of all, hentai already has a negative connotation in general. Like, people are like, mm-hmm. hentai. Mm-hmm. The fandom is quite large for hentai.
Yeah, which and is... if you look at the yaoi fandom, it always feels very young. Like, the yaoi fandom true. Always feels young. True. Which is what very makes true. It so paradoxical that, like, it's all this stuff that's really meant for adults. Mm-hmm. But I know, like, I started consuming it when I was too young for it.
Right.
But, like, that's historically how it's kind of viewed is,
yeah.
you know, you're getting into this stuff way younger than you should. I don't know. I wasn't in any of those board meetings because mm-hmm. I probably would have made different decisions.
Right.
But it was yeah. actually, it was weird for me because it was actually watching the Maiden Rose OVA mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. made me realize that this was porn. Because there's this huge disconnect between reading it and, like, hearing the moaning and the wet mm-hmm. noises and, like, beds creaking. It's like, oh, this is porn. This is a sex right. act.
Right,
like,
yeah.
it was this huge, like, I felt dirty watching this OVA. Like, it's like, oh, well then, they're okay, boys. You know, like, it felt weird because, like, mm-hmm. I had read that scene a million times mm-hmm. and never had the same reaction to, like, right. watching it animated. It was like, oh okay, yeah, this is a sex act. This is a real sex act. A mm-hmm. real, it's fictional, but you know what I mean, like,
right, yes.
So yeah, it yaoi is under the hentai umbrella. It's a mm-hmm. triangle with yuri. I don't have all the answers as to why it's still as censored as it is. My right. gut is telling me because I think a lot of these companies kind of inherently know that their audience skews way younger.
Right. And I mean, they have ways to find, I mean, they can mm. check, you know, yeah.
like I feel like they probably know somewhere that their audience skews way younger. And it's also mm-hmm. probably, I know some of it also is just like decency standards. Like, you can have mm-hmm. some dick, but not that much dick. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the manga and such. But mm-hmm. we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
as per usual. We always do.
But realistically, plenty of BL get censored for lots of things, not mm-hmm. just the dicks. Ages get moved around, subject matter gets softened, and there's just lots of different ways that things get censored. Antique mm-hmm. Bakery is a pretty good example of that, going from manga to anime, where there are some things that are just, like, softened or right. they aren't touched upon as heavily. That's a right. form of censorship through redaction.
Yeah.
So.
That actually reminds me, and I feel like I've brought this up so many times, but the Cornered Mouse, wait, what is it called?
Cornered Mouse Dreams of Cheese?
Yes, the Cornered Mouse Dreams of Cheese, and then the follow-up.
God bless these English
That's
titles.
One that I've mentioned so many times where, mm-hmm. like, it, you know, the manga came out, and then they were getting, like, a live-action mm-hmm. adaptation, and mm-hmm. so because the live-action adaptation was, of course, going to be
a wider
censored,
audience.
Because it's going to a wider audience, mm-hmm. so they were like, it's going to be changed a lot, so they mm-hmm. actually asked the mangaka ended up basically redoing certain things to mm-hmm. make the manga match more with the live action drama. Now, mm-hmm. From what I understand, in the English translation, we have the uncensored or unchanged mm-hmm. version, as far as I know, because I remember seeing, like, whoever, like, a Seven Seas is the publisher, mm-hmm. the English translation publisher, and they, like, were very much like, no, we have not changed anything on ours, but just letting y'all know there, mm-hmm. this has been changed. So I can see that, because it's like, yeah, it's a wider audience, mm-hmm. And they want to, I mean, the whole point of a business, any business, is to make money, regardless of the business.
Right.
The point of it is to make money.
Right.
So, of course, it does make sense to censor some things if you're trying to get to a wider audience. Mm-hmm. I think that it can be frustrating because it's a slippery slope.
Absolutely. I think there's plenty of times where things have gotten censored and mm-hmm. it just feels unnecessary.
Yeah. But like then cuss words or something.
Some cuss words.
Yeah.
Some cuss words. But, like, yeah, there are plenty of times where it just feels like you didn't do anything by censoring this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we alluded to 4Kids earlier. And for mm-hmm. listeners who aren't aware, 4Kids was a publishing and translation and licensing company in the U.S. that was really, really good about bringing anime from Japan to America. Mm-hmm. But they censored the fuck out of it.
They really did.
To the point of just butchering a lot of these anime now in hindsight. Yeah. In hindsight, these anime were butchered. They did it for One Piece, Naruto, and Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, yeah, there's no point in watching any of the 4Kids versions. No,
absolutely not.
These are as far away from the original source material as you can get. Mm-hmm. They also did it to Cardcaptors, because I remember Yukito and Tilia are just good friends. I think that was the issue with 4Kids. It was like, mm-hmm. it felt very selective.
Yeah. Because, and it's based on whose standards. You know, like the people, like just like that group of,
yeah,
the
that small group of people.
Group of people. Right. Yeah.
Because, and that's the thing with a lot of censorship is that it usually, so like in Boys Love, in the yaoi space, like you're erasing mm-hmm. the dicks, but like we still know we what's going on.
Yeah.
Like it's not like it's a mystery. It's not like, you know, you took out some shading in a vein and now it's like, oh, I guess they're just waxing a surfboard.
Right.
Like, I have no idea what's going on now.
That's what boggles my mind. It's like, we know what's, like, you may as well just have the mangaka just do a fade to black scene then. Like, because. Just
put an X over
what's the point? Right. Yeah. Like, if, like, I could.
Like, we can still in tune still what see, happened. We still know.
You can still see everything else. Like, you can see, like, freaking juices coming out. Like, self-lubricating buttholes. You know, you
which
can
are not
still
a thing.
It's not a thing at all. It is in BL. Or in yaoi. They think it is. Because it's women. It's women drawing things that when they don't. They're not men.
Women don't have self-lubricating models.
We have self-lubricating vaginas, though.
Yeah, but our butts don't self-lubricate.
But the butthole is supposed to be a representation of the vagina, right? In BL or in yaoi? Like,
what heteronormative shit have you been reading?
A bunch of BL. Like, it's all heteronormative. They always, like, that's what, like, what? The uke is, like, the feminine one. And so they have the butthole, they use the butthole like it's a freaking vagina, and it's not. It's weird. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Basic it doesn't anatomy. Feel the same. They don't work the same.
No, they don't.
They're both great, but they don't function the same way.
They do not. Oh, my God.
And it's just, it bothers me, okay? That's like,
no, you're entitled to it. I'm not mad at you. I'm not.
Because I'm like, freaking get some KY jelly, please. Please. Like, pull that shit out because no one's butthole.
If I can get, like, 3 pages of foreplay and a boy's love, I'd be the happiest person on earth.
You know what? That's fair.
Like, if I could get, like, just, like, 3 pages of, like,
instead of just people, they just go in.
They just
like,
throw that uke on the dick.
Like, they just sit on it. And I'm just like, I can't. Listen, I have a self-lubricating vagina. And even I can't just sit on a dick immediately.
Yeah, I'm not pole vaulting on anyone's dick.
Yeah, you have to, like, get
like,
it.
If I could get, like, just 3 pages of, like, honest foreplay where, like, you just have to go, like, find the drawer that the condoms are in.
Right. Or the lube. Forget.
Or both.
Please.
Yeah. Or where you have to, like ask if your partner has an allergy.
But to be fair, that's us wanting much realism.
Yeah, that's us wanting way too much realism.
In fantasy.
What is essentially a sexual power fantasy.
Exactly. So, see, Even we do it. Even we have been guilty of.
But we're not wanting... screaming at anyone. Like we haven't. Exactly. We haven't like shaken down. Like we're not yelling at Fumi Yoshinaga. I demand a scene where someone gets lube.
We're not getting on Twitter and adding people.
We're not yelling at fucking. We're not tagging June in like 30 like hate posts about it. Right. Like, we're just
listen. Don't even get me started on people who do that. It's not necessarily in the BL yaoi fandom, but the shoujo fandom. Let me tell you, I feel like some of these publishers just out of spite, they're like, you know what?
Acknowledge, delete.
Yep. And it's like, oh, when they're like, hey, send in these surveys, I feel like they keep track of who, they probably don't, but they're like, you know what, I recognize this name, delete.
It's like, oh no, we lost request your order. Denied. It's like, oh no, your order's missing somewhere. Ooh. Heard you talking shit on Twitter at 3 o'clock. Right.
So just because you talk shit about us not giving you what you want,
right?
It's like, you ain't gonna get shit now.
We heard how you about talking that? Shit. But typically censorship works that once a manga is licensed in English, the translators and publishers will work on censoring. So that's on Sublime typically before that's on the mangaka. Now some of them will kind of self-censor or they just don't draw as much. Here's a good litmus test. If you see lines over the dick, that's usually a scanlation sign. Because they took it from raw and then uploaded.
Oh,
but if you see like the fuzzy, that's usually a sign that it was taken from a publishing house. So there's your quick tip, pun intended.
Because usually what I've seen is like the lightsaber.
The lightsaber. So that's typically a more professional like editing job. Right. But if you just see like lines and stuff, that's usually a scan later. Who's translated or is pulling from raw manga pages.
Right. So that's interesting though. If I were a scanlator, why would I bother censoring it in the first place? So, 'cause aren't people who are into scans some of the most like loud about not liking censorship?
So most of them at this stage, I think, are just kind of doing it out of habit.
Okay.
Every once in a while, those scans would be sold back in the day.
Okay.
So I think at this stage, it's just sort of perpetuating something that's always been done. It's a weird thing, but it's also, I think, to pass, like, some sites' decency checks. Because every once in a while, sites will get scrubbed. And it's like, that's a lot of everything,
right?
And depending on like your domain and stuff like that, you could get flagged for terms of service violations. So a lot of like scanlator sites have that issue of domains and housing,
right?
Because if there's just like, it's not that you can't have a site full of that, but like if you're using a certain hosting service, they might not be okay with it.
Okay.
Right. So at this stage, I think a lot of it's sort of perpetuating something that we've been doing for 1,000 years. But, you know, like, you know, the bird migrates. We don't know why. It just does.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it might be some of that, but also probably making sure that, like, your terms of service aren't ever violated. Because, you know, that's a thing with sites.
Even sites that utilize scans.
Because that's the thing, is that just because the site hosts scans doesn't mean that their hosting provider knows that or is okay with it.
Right.
So, like, if your hosting provider is, like, WordPress or GoDaddy or something like that, they might not know what you're doing with that site. That's the thing. So they might not be okay with it.
Right. Interesting. See, that's a very...
Yeah. Again, Amanda does this for a living.
I'm like, I'm learning stuff.
There is debate to be had on censorship because of changed storylines and plot points that does continue to beef up the discussion on piracy.
Yeah.
Because that is one thing that I think I mentioned during our piracy episode, which is still our least listened to episode. Still mad about that.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about it. Go listen to our piracy episode. I think it's good. I think it's one of our best.
I think it's great, too, because I think we did a pretty good job of, like,
having a nuanced conversation about it, which no one wants to do.
Right. Exactly.
But it does add to that conversation about piracy, because a lot of things do get changed or softened.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think you are losing something in the narrative. So, like, that line that I sent you from Twittering Birds Never Fly about wanting a caseless wiener for breakfast, that apparently isn't in the movie.
Oh.
Right. Hmm. Now, some people might not think there's a problem with that.
Right.
And on the surface, I don't think there's a problem with that.
Right.
But out of all of the vile shit that leaves Yashiro's mouth, we're censoring that. So that to me is a bit of a portent of, now I don't know what translation choices were made.
Mm-hmm.
Or what editing choices were made. Because Yashiro says a lot worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
In daylight.
Right.
But if you edit that, what else is edited?
Right.
And a lot of times you won't notice those little translation censorship things unless you already have a really, really solid footing in the source material, which, not to sound gatekeepery, most people don't.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
So if you are coming into this for the first time and you don't know any better, then you're going to accept this narrative as writ. And oftentimes, that's just not true.
Right.
A lot of things get softened. A lot of things get changed.
Right. And I would even say that it, just from my perspective, and you can tell me, you know, if I'm incorrect, but it seems like, it seems like the majority of, like, anime slash manga fans in the U.S. Are people who, they're more likely to, like, anime seems to do better, basically, here. And so there are a lot of people who will jump into something, they'll watch the anime and never even touch the manga, like you said, so they're not really familiar with what had happened in
Or honestly, knowing multiple translations of manga, because anytime, again, it's coming over legally, there's still probably changes that are being made.
Oh, yeah.
Localization is, I think, one of the best forms of censorship. And localization is basically making something more local. So, like, there's a whole group of people that are just localization translators of, like, taking things that sound too Asian and make it more American.
Right.
Because Americans are fucking stupid, I guess. and we wouldn't understand some concepts of things that are different in different countries.
Right.
So, like, Funimation has a huge thing with localization. So they will throw in a lot of things to make stuff sound more American.
Right.
Which mostly includes them using a lot of, like, meme language. And it pisses off fans a lot.
Yeah.
But unless you have multiple translation sources of things, you're probably going to miss it. One of the other examples I have for that is Axis Powers Italia. And there's a scene where... So Italia is personified countries. Do not talk about whether Scandinavia and the world did it first, because they did, and we all know. Shut up. We're not here about that. Whereas basically it's World War II, three personified countries. There are other historical periods, but the main bulk of the series is during World War II. So Northern Italy gets captured by England. I think it's like England and America, World War II stuff. And they're like, hey, tell us about Germany. We want the tea on Germany. And like, he's listing off all these things, like Germany being weird. And it's like, I even saw some of his porn. One of it had dogs in it. Like, that's, like, a line that, like, gets thrown out because he's talking really, really fast. And if you're reading the subs, it's just like, oh, okay, that's a weird thing to throw out there. But then you get, like, the Funimation translation, and that's not in there. So you only know that if you have, like, this weird memory of, honestly, watching this fan translated, because that was in the raw scan of the manga, because it was in the raw scan of the webcomic, which Hidakaz made as a racist joke when he was in New York. So if you only know, so if you know the raw scan or the raw translations, you know that joke. If you've only been consuming the Funimation legal, you don't know that joke is in there.
Right.
So it's like this weird contextualized memory of like, you know, it's there, but no one else knows what you're talking about.
Right.
Because all the other casuals have only seen the Funimation one.
Right. Well, and it makes me wonder, like, that actually leads me to the question of, like, how, okay.
Yes.
If you are reading something, if you don't know what you're missing out on.
Yes.
Is it really a quote unquote bad thing? Because I think of it like this. So for me personally, because we already know that I don't read scans, blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Blah. Mm-hmm. And I also don't speak Japanese or, you know, I'm just not familiar with that. So for me, like, for all I know, I could be reading whatever and have no context of, like, what it was supposed to be like, you know, or what the maybe the mangaka's original intent was or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I still end up enjoying the series.
Sure.
But, like, is that way for everyone? Because I know, like, I still enjoy it. Because I go into it kind of knowing, like, more than likely, yeah, there's going to be things that are changed. Because that's just the nature. That's the nature of translating works a lot of the time. You know, even with, like, novels, it's kind of like,
But it doesn't have to be. So
right, yeah.
Here's the counter. And I come at this as a writer and a reader. I think anything that changes plot and it's not necessary, I think is bad.
Okay.
And I use necessary very loosely because, again, like, I do understand that, like, sometimes this stuff is intense. Sometimes this stuff just does not fit sensibilities. But, like, I think if it's fucking with plot, you need to not do this. And oftentimes it is. And I think only... To make this, like, semi-political, I think of it like the news. I would never get my news from just one source.
Right.
Ever.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And I'm not, I will not insert whatever source you probably think this brown deviant gets their news from, but I would never just get my news from one source.
Right.
I tend to think of manga a little bit that way.
Okay.
Is there are a lot of things that just get, for lack of a better word, lost in translation, but it's stuff that's important. And a lot of things tend to get just smoothed over, and it's bad. Like, it's taking something. So, like, the hallmark example for this to me is Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, where Prince Lang is running away from whoever the fucking Amestris is fucking with him. And the situation that he's about to be thrown in jail for some bullshit reason.
Right.
And it comes down to basically he doesn't have his traveling documents on him.
Right.
Funimation took that and translated it to he's an illegal alien. And they go out of their way to use the word illegal alien. Almost like Funimation's in Texas.
Right.
So here's why that's a problem. It's contextually not true.
Mm-hmm.
And it softens his narrative.
Mm-hmm.
He's a literal prince.
Right.
He's not an illegal alien.
Right.
His papers are in his other pants. Like.
Right.
But you're using a term that has a much stronger meaning here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And you've now changed the context of the narrative.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Or to make it about BL, Gravitation had that problem where originally a lot of the ages were much more exaggerated. So, like, the age gap between Yuki and Suichi was much more significant than it ended up being when it got released.
Okay.
Just because, I guess, to some readers, it was a little bit gross.
Well.
Well, I didn't have a problem with it, but I'm also gross. I'm also gross, so it's okay. But that changes the dynamic of their relationship when you have this kid who's almost more of an ingenue, who is younger, who is giving up more to this older man. It changes a lot of the dynamic of their relationship rather than them being more on equal terms. It also then makes it harder to excuse a lot of Suichi being dumb. Because for him to be as old as he is and still be such an idiot, it feels a little bit weird. It makes complete sense if the ages were the same and he's really only supposed to be 18 or 19 years old.
Okay, right.
So you've kind of fundamentally have taken away something from the narrative and you've moved things around
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of erased over some of those edges that made sense.
Right. I almost think, so you had mentioned, like, especially as a writer, mm-hmm. I think that is a very important key. Because when I do think about censorship
mm-hmm.
within manga or any writing, but we're talking about manga, mm-hmm. so, or I do wonder about the mangaka mm-hmm. in Japan. When they find out, like, okay, there, you know, somebody in America wants to license this series,
mm-hmm.
like, surely there is a worry about, like, you know, how
butchered is this going to be?
Yes, like, is my mm-hmm. is my original, like, I not idea, but yeah, like, is the context going to be changed? Mm-hmm. Like, is my work going to be changed?
Mm-hmm.
The meaning behind this work going to be changed?
Mm-hmm.
For this audience, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's kind of where I really, really don't like the idea of censorship, because it's changing something that mm-hmm. someone made. Maybe they had it's something that they made, and they may have had this intent. And like you said, with translations or censorship, it can really affect
mm-hmm.
the narrative and what people are getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what if the mangaka is just like, I don't really want people to get that out of it, because I want people to get this out of it. So I could see that being really.
So I don't think that anyone who publishes
mm-hmm.
is naive enough to think that everything they writ as wrote is just mm-hmm. print.
Yeah.
And there probably is some negotiation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of things that aren't negotiable, because at the end of the day, it has to be marketable.
Right, because again, money, like,
yeah, the end of the day, it has to be marketable. So enough people had an issue with Suichi being that young mm-hmm. that they changed the ages for the first print of the manga in the U.S.
Right.
The doujins leave it, so it's weird. So the doujins are like their own canon AU, I guess.
Right.
Gravitation has like the weirdest timeline that they've broken so many times that I don't mm-hmm. even have the energy to talk about right now. But yeah, like, I don't think that any creator assumes that everything that I wrote unfettered is just going to go mm-hmm. off into that good sweet night.
Right.
And I do think that they get some choices into that. But a lot of it, no, is not up to them. And mm-hmm. there are great interviews of mangaka who were like, that's not what I wrote.
Yeah.
There are some great interviews with mangaka who were like, the fuck is this?
You know, like,
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. Which is why it's great now that you're starting to see more collaboration between mangaka and mm-hmm. the houses in Japan and the houses in the U.S. working yes. together. And you get some of these great newer series that don't have as many of those issues
mm-hmm.
because you have the Japanese team being like, hey, cut this the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We said these words and we mean these words.
Right.
Because a lot of it also was just agency. It was they did not have the say. So a lot of it back in the day was it gets licensed, poof, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It gets sent off into the ether and I get my royalties check, you know, a couple years later.
Right.
But now there's a lot more collaboration between the East and the West, for better mm-hmm. or worse, because we're now starting to influence them more.
Yeah.
Fine, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been
sticky
there to some degree.
Yeah, I think we're doing it too much, though.
Yeah.
I think certain companies, mm-hmm. are doing it a little too much.
Also, I do want, because we were talking about localization earlier. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen, not recently, but just over time, I've seen a lot of, like, discourse mm-hmm. around localization and people getting really upset
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree that kind of made me, I think I'm low key, there's something wrong with me, because I really just, sometimes I just don't care about certain things. Like, it's just something that I don't care that much about that mm-hmm. I would be like yelling about it on Twitter. Well, but
So I get mad about localization because, again, like, it often softens the narrative and it also mm-hmm. assumes that Americans are stupid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And while many of us are, not all of us are. So it tends to it tends to try to find explanations for things that don't need explaining. Mm-hmm. So a hallmark example of localization being stupid is in Pokemon, there is a Alolan Raichu.
Oh.
Which one were you thinking?
I was thinking of like, there was a scene where, I forget who, but somebody was holding an onigiri.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the jelly donut?
Changed it into a, yeah, like a...
Yeah, that's a 4Kids localization, but a newer one is Alolan Raichu, where, like, the Pokedex entry for him in Japan is that he basically, like, gets so zenned out surfing that he becomes a psychic type.
Oh.
Yeah, and, like, that's cool. But, like, the American Pokedex says that, like, he got psychic powers from eating too many pancakes. And, like, that's just, like, a dumb localization thing, assuming that, like, that Americans wouldn't get that.
I don't get the pancake thing.
Yeah, like, the pancake doesn't make any more sense. But, sure. But, like, that's, like, a dumb localization thing that just really flattens the narrative of, like, you have these surfing Pikachus and these surfing Raichus that get so zen that they, like, change type. That's amazing and super cool. Magic pancakes.
Stupid.
But like, yeah, like there's a lot of like dumb localization stuff that like we assume that like Americans wouldn't get. And again, like to bring it back to like being a guest in Japan's house, I remember reading the Inuyasha manga and they still had all the suffixes in. And they would give you a little glossary at the end so you know the suffixes.
Yeah. I guess I'm just not so just like, localization.
And I get being that invested in stuff, but like I'm used to, so like I do that like on calls with friends.
Yeah.
I don't yell into the void of the social internet very often. And when I do, it's like one off and like snarky. But like I get that patch out localization like on calls with friends or on podcasts because content or in videos, like I'm not just like screaming into the void hoping that like Nintendo hears me because it's not what it's about.
Right.
It's just, I think it's about targeting that angst and like doing something with it. So like for me, yeah, like the whole issue with censorship and localization, it puts another feather in my pirate cap. It makes it adds one more of those little feathers that it's like, I'm not quite ready to take this off yet because I've seen what some of these companies do to works that I love and I don't like it all the time. I've seen what happens to works that matter to me, and I've known that that's not how that line is. And there's something that it's really disheartening. It sucks because you learn it a certain way and it's just not what you expected.
Right.
But yeah, like for me, it's never going to be enough to like start yelling at anyone. Like I'm not going to start yelling at Sublime. I'm not going to start yelling at June. I'm not going to start yelling at, you know, Tokyo Pop.
Right.
Because they're trying to be a thing again.
Right. Well, oh gosh, they're really trying.
They're really
trying. They've almost got me a couple times because some of their BL titles.
Every once in a while, they'll try to, it's like, hey.
It makes me so angry because I'm like.
It's like having like a really crappy ex. Like Tokyo Pop is everyone's Jean-Baptiste Heavens who like won't go away and just like pops up every once in a while like, home, home. Like
that occasionally gave good enough dick that you were just like, you know what, maybe.
Yeah, every once in a while, like, just maybe. Left you dicked down so good that like, you were like, I might answer the phone.
I might want to hop on that again. That's what Tokyo Pop
is. And they push you on a staircase. They push you on a fucking staircase. And it's like, why? But why? I love that we just like dated ourselves instantly. I mean, we talk about being old every episode, but like I think that was the one that we're both like, remember when Tokyo Pop was a thing?
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, I know how you feel about Fruits Basket, but I still have like Fruits Basket. I have the Tokyo Pop version because that was like my first manga and also the first manga I, you know, completed because like I followed it through from beginning to end.
That's so sweet.
And it's all speaking of censorship and, you know, translation decisions and things like that.
Fruits Basket.
I had heard, cause granted, like I was reading it, you know, when it was first releasing,
right?
And for the most part, the beginning of the release and English. I didn't learn until, like, the, I think Yen Press put out, like a collector's edition or something. And I've been tempted to buy that edition because I've heard that the translation is better because it is more true to whatever, true to the story, I guess. Which, again, I have no frame of reference because I've only ever read it in English. I don't speak Japanese. So I think that's where I get hung up on. It's like, I have no frame of reference to even know if something has changed.
For me, I've never read it in Japanese, but I trust my scan sources and I trust their translators. Because again, and we talked about this in the piracy episode, a lot of fan translators aren't just dumb, horny teenagers. Like they know what they're doing.
Which is, I'll be honest, which is, has always typically been my
perception. That's not true. So
most of it, so I can admit that I definitely have that bias.
Well, because especially like in the conversation that people who are anti-pirate, the conversations that they have about it, they all make it sound that way because you have to make it so much more demonstratively bad. Because, and this is where I probably sound a little bit arrogant, sometimes there's no excuse to not. Like, if you really have issues with the way that some of these companies are run, which realistically some people do. I know I've looked at some of the books and I don't like where some money is going and how some people have been continued to be supported that we're not going to talk about on this podcast. If you really wanted to make an argument for piracy, you could do it. So I think a lot of the people on the anti side for piracy, they kind of have to draw at straws sometimes. So they have to flatten the narrative and make it sound way worse. When really, like, I'm not going to say it's not that bad. But it's definitely, like, the bad that you think it is not what it is. It's not
interesting.
Or, like, my favorite...
I just choked on my spit. I tried to breathe.
You poor thing.
Anyways, go ahead.
So, like, yeah, like, I think especially in the Boys Love Space, you see almost like the litmus test to a lot of this stuff, that so much of this is changed and is adjusted. And because a lot of the stuff that we're getting now is older, you are getting more fans that are like, wait a minute, that's not how that was. Because I remember how that was.
That's okay. Because like a lot of the people, a lot of those series that were older that we're getting like English or official releases now, people had read them maybe in scans, or even maybe they read them, maybe they can read Japanese and they read them.
Maybe they have that one friend who was living in Japan, like they have a couple scan sources, maybe they watched this illegally when they were in college like I did, you know, and so it's like, wait a minute, I have a memory of this and that's not what was said, that's not what was done. Or honestly, it just could be like a second or third reprint, like like there are some manga that are like, wait a minute, this is a newer version of this manga, and that's not like, there's a difference just being like these two volumes of what is said. In the end, if you want to consume your BL legally, you're gonna have to deal with some censorship. Most of the houses do some form of censoring, whether it's softening dicks or changing lines or moving up ages, they're gonna do some form of censoring. So if you want your BL legally, which we've talked ad nauseum about piracy, you're going to have to deal with it. And your mileage on that may change. I still, as often as I can, prefer to go the legal route. So if we ever get the third volume of Maiden Rose, I'm fucking buying it. I don't care if it's censored. Like, if when we finally get that fourth volume of Twittering Birds Never Fly, I'm fucking buying it. So that wraps up censorship. I hope that you guys had an elucidating time. I'm not going to say a good time. It was kind of heavy. So that was censorship. Aisha, where can the people find you?
Y'all can find me at Mama Loves Manga on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Not yet OnlyFans. I'm still, I keep mentioning it at the end of every podcast. One of these days... But y'all won't see my face, though. I have a plan. Like, it's going to be, I've actually decided who my target audience will be.
Just legs and feet.
What?
Just feet and legs. That's all. I've been on the side of TikTok where it's like women selling like everything that they've owned, where it's like, oh, these are the shorts that I just took a run in, $300. It's See, like,
that's what, listen, y'all about to, y'all think I'm insufferable now? Just wait till I start making all this money on OnlyFans.
Selling socks.
Selling
used socks.
Underwear that I don't actually, I only wear underwear for 1 week a month. I will sell those.
I almost sold my gloves to a hand fetishist once.
See, we are wasting our potential.
Every man has a price, and I know what mine is, and it has a fair amount of zeros.
I'm about to listen. I know there's people that have fetish for small boobies. Please believe. I'll shake my little mosquito bites.
I had another great moment of I bought new bras today, and I'm like, this cup is like the size of my face.
It's like the size of both of my butt cheeks together.
Like this one cup is like the size of my whole head. And this holds my titty. Speaking of titty, you can find me at Aichiyume in most places.
Yes.
And Amanda actually to listen to me whinge about media. I just finished up a post on fan fiction, which actually leads us to what I think might be our next topic, which is fan works. In doujins.
Yay!
Something that we both care a lot about. And yes. Something that we're both heavily invested in. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at anchor.fm/theyaoishelf. You do not need to support us financially. There are plenty of other ways that you can support us, like writing reviews or sharing with your friends. A retweet costs exactly $0. But if you do wish to support us financially, we do greatly appreciate it. As of now, we have no goals for it, but maybe we can work on that.
Yeah. I mean, if we start getting more people wanting to do that, we can. Yeah. Or we could do it before.
Nothing matters. We also have a shop with all these kinds of fun designs. Mm-hmm. If you would like merch, you can do
like this one.
Yep. You can do so at redbubble.com/theyaoishelf because capitalism exists.
Also.
We can't destroy capitalism. Might as well indulge.
I mean, and to be fair, I have bought so much of our own merch.
Yeah, I think like you're the second highest sale is just you throwing money into this podcast, which I'm perfectly fine with.
I gotta contribute how I can. If I'm not gonna read the outline,
if you're not gonna read the outline, you can at least leave me a tip by buying my art.
Exactly. You know, look at me.
Fucking Daddy Warbucks. Useful. I've never been to one of your baseball games, and here's a penny. I missed your recital, little one, but here's a nickel.
Some money. Here's $5.
Throws money at child. Yeah, I missed your school pageant, sweetie. Sorry about that. Go buy yourself something nice. We wipes tears with $20 bill.
Here you go. Here's some money.
Go get yourself something nice. Pat on the
here's
butt.
Here's a gift card to Target.
I would actually. I
love actually, right. Like, as soon as I said it, I was like, actually.
I just got my cousin for his birthday a gift card to Outback Steakhouse. And I'm like,
actually?
What the fuck am I doing?
I never go, like, I don't ever go to Outback anymore on my own money, but if someone gives me a gift card.
We're black. We don't go to Outback Steakhouse.
Please believe, if somebody gave me a gift card to Applebee's, I would even go to Applebee's.
If someone gave me a gift card, unless I'm allergic, I'm going.
Right, because
like, unless it's like Texas Roadhouse, which I can't go to.
Wait, you can't, because of peanuts.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks, because Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, my family just brings me rolls. Like, they know better. Like, they just bring me, like, a carton of rolls.
But isn't that kind of, well, as long as they don't touch the
table, the
nuts.
Yeah. Aisha, why are you like this?
I didn't even, okay, why are you like this? Because that's not what I was thinking. Okay, low-key, I was. Okay.
I know you were. That's why I called you out, ho. I know you were. So our next episode will be on fanworks and doujins. As always, thank you for listening. By the time this episode comes out, I should be fully recovered and sound more like myself. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.
Bye.